live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hours here. We got a little war going on there. Sam didn't have to back down. I will stoke those flames when he called Mark McMillan, Chef Mark, washed up. A washed up NFL player because Mark...
Washed up defensive back.
It doesn't matter, right? Sam's table of food. We kind of took the response and just, we were okay with it. Are you okay with, what was it, apple pie filling and baked beans? I'm kind of intrigued. Cinnamon, it's got to be cinnamon, right? Apple and beans?
I like the idea and the concept. I don't like the process, like that, because it's too much processed, canned, whatever. I would rather make, if you're going to do that, make your own filling. Do your own work.
Yep, you're very big on that. That's why you are a top 10 Cofield and Company chef.
Do your own work.
Yeah. Miles Simmons is with us. He's already laughing. Last week, we got into it over filet mignon, as Willie wants to keep saying. We got a couple of food questions for you here. First of all, is there any case where fruit belongs in baked beans?
Hi, Miles.
Hello, Willie. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm not completely opposed to it. The one that would make sense to me right off the bat is pineapple, because you get a little pineapple, you get a little bacon, right? Or any other pork product, whether you want to use pancetta, a little pork belly, whatever you want to use. That would make sense to me. But gotta say, you know, generally the applesauce, that doesn't compute for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got Willie all jazzed up because, I was talking about it. You know, you're an upper crust guy. Do rich people like bacon? Today is National Bacon Lovers Day.
Is it really? Oh my gosh!
Perfect, right?
I should have bought some. I was just at the grocery store. Had I known, yeah. I love bacon. I mean, I would not consider myself a rich person, but I do love bacon. I love the hell out of bacon, man. One time I was with some buddies, and you know, we went to a Waffle House, and we were somewhere in the South. And, you know, some other folks had like walked into the restaurant, right? You know, and we were already sitting down and eating, and there was a plate that was left on this table. And one of the people that had just walked in looks at the plate and just goes, "Who the F leaves bacon?"
Yep.
That's how I feel about bacon. Yep. It should never be left on a plate.
Never, ever. And it ties into the last two visits with you because bacon wrapped filet mignon.
Yes, I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of bacon wrapped most things. I mean, I don't feel like I need a bacon wrapped filet mignon. Like I am one who likes the meat to just stand on its own. You know, a beautiful cut of meat that is cooked beautifully. Like there's not much better to me than that. But will I say no to a bacon wrapped filet mignon? Certainly not. I would absolutely accept it.
Mal Simmons with us, PFT and Peacock. Listen, yesterday I tried to get the juices flowing on Akon and Minshew Mania, and I just don't have it in me. I am optimistic about Minshew. I thought he should have the job, but I want the national take because I saw a lot of people reacting to this Raider QB battle that is over for at least the first quarter of the first game.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say first quarter of the season is Antonio Pierce kept bringing up when he made the announcement. Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. I think having the quote unquote veteran presence, right, of a Gardner Minshew, the experience, he understands more or less how to operate offenses. And it's not like he's going to have an offense stagnate, you know, to such a point that we saw from Aiden O'Connell last year at certain points. Now, does that mean that Gardner Minshew is going to, you know, elevate the Raiders offense to heights, you know, not seen since blah, blah, blah time? I don't necessarily think that. No, I do think that the Raiders are probably going to win games based on their defense, right? And I don't know that I'm breaking any new ground by saying something like that, especially given what we know that the Raiders defense can be. And that really can be a really good unit this year. You know, you're going into your third season with Patrick Graham. He understands what the different types of pieces that he has on defense. Antonio Pierce is going to have those guys fired up and ready to go as well. So I don't think there's any doubt about that, but from the offensive standpoint, I mean, it's not going to be much of a surprise if the Raiders aren't as good in that area as they are on defense, in part because you've got a limited quarterback, right? I mean, that it's not again, breaking new ground to say that Gardner Minshew has limitations. You know, you put him out there for as long as the Colts did last year, those limitations started to show up toward the end of the year. He's going to turn the ball over. Right? He's going to try to make a play that he probably shouldn't make. So that's the kind of thing you're going to have to live with Gardner Minshew, but that's just the way the quarterback situation is right now for the Raiders, and it's not something they can really solve until 2025.
Okay, Miles, let me ask you a question. And because I was speaking to another national NFL writer earlier today, and we had this conversation about Minshew, and I get it. Everything you said obviously is spot on. But when you look at the complexion of his resume, right, he had a respectable start with Jacksonville. He had a down year, and then he didn't play a couple of years. And then he comes in, and like you said, with the Colts, he steps in for Richardson, who goes down. He leads him to the playoffs. Not glaringly great numbers, but almost. Has he ever been in a favorable situation? Does this guy have an upside? Have we seen his best yet? Is it fair to say that we've yet to see him in a favorable situation with the right franchise and the right surroundings and the top receiver to where maybe the entire picture is wrong? And I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's an all-pro. I'm not saying he's Mahomes and he's elite. But he could be in the upper half of the bottom half of the list of quarterbacks, if that makes sense.
So somewhere between like 24 and 16 is
yes, yes, exactly. That's the exact number that he and I, the person I spoke with earlier, talked about was like yes. But I mean, I'm just saying. I mean,
strong Willie.
Yeah, has he been strong getting? Stuff. Has he been getting a fair shake realistically?
All right, I got to correct the record because they did not make the playoffs last year, and I don't mean to, like, you know, be mean to you, but they almost made the playoffs.
Almost made the playoffs,
They were in a win-and-in basically situation. And they didn't win in part because Gardner Minshew didn't play that well against, you know, the Houston Texans in that Week 18 game. So that's one thing. But, I mean, he was in a pretty favorable situation as a backup a couple years ago for the Eagles, and it's not like he played all that well there, right? I mean, you know, number one, he got A.J. Brown, got Devontae Smith. You know, I mean, what was he doing? And it's not like, again, he was practicing and as the one QB, Jalen Hurts, a lot better than him. So but I think 24 to 20 is about as good as it's going to get with Minshew, and that's, again, yeah. If you play him for a whole season, the longer you play him, the more I would think that that's going to go down. But that being said, I don't mean to say he's not a good pro. He is a good pro. He's not going to be a good quarterback, you know, from the standpoint of, oh yeah, that's the guy that's going to really go out there and win games for you on a consistent basis. I don't see that, even with, you know, decent talent around him. Again, I mean, you got Devontae Adams, and I think Brock Bowers is going to be really good. But, you know, other than that, we're not, like, talking about, you know, I don't know, the 2007 Patriots here.
Speaking with Miles Simmons, PFT, Commanders named rookie Jaden Daniels their starting quarterback for the regular season. Your predictions on how this fares.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because I'm not that big of a believer in Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I spent a lot of time covering the NFC West, so I have familiarity with what he was doing with Arizona, and I was never particularly impressed with that. You know, I think that, yeah, they went to the playoffs one year, but then it was your third game against a divisional opponent, and they came out and they completely peed down their leg, you know, on that 2021 wild card round against the Los Angeles Rams. So that's one thing. I think Dan Quinn overall is a decent coach. So I don't think that Daniels is going into a particularly horrible situation. I think when you have somebody like a Terry McLaurin that you can go to and you can count on as a number one receiver, that definitely helps. But you know, this is not the most talented Washington team. And, you know, they're in a division with the Eagles. The Eagles should be pretty darn good this year. The Cowboys, despite everything that's happened, I mean, they're a 12-win team over the last few years, right? So this is another team that's going to be pretty good. They're going to be tested, you know, and I think that Daniels is going to be a really good quarterback. I do. But is Cliff Kingsbury going to be the right guy to lead that offense? I don't know. And is that team going to be good enough around him that Daniels is going to excel? Is he really going to be an offensive rookie of the year quarterback? That, to me, is still an open question.
Miles Simmons, Peacock, and Pro Football Talk. Let's talk about management just in general, and we can build it towards football here. What'd you think of Tua really laying into Brian Flores and his management style? I guess not everyone is motivated by someone telling them that they suck and yelling at them. I like that approach.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because when you think about this, it is, I think, Steve, you make a good point. It's not just, you know, oh, is this right for coaching quarterback? It's kind of society writ large, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like everybody in their in whatever situation they've ever been in has had a bad boss. And if you have a bad boss or just a boss that does not fit with who you are, then that's going to make your work life miserable. It just is. And so, you know, I think that we can see that Brian Flores has been a successful coach in the National Football League. You know, today when he's doing his press conference in Minnesota, he's got two of his players flanking him as he is responding to these things that Tua Tagovailoa has said about him. And, you know, you can read body language and whatever, you know, tone of voice, however you like. But I thought watching Flores' press conference today that the words that Tagovailoa said affected him. You know, when Tua Tagovailoa literally called him a terrible person, right? That's not something you ever want to hear said about yourself in any context. So I think that this is in some ways an opportunity for Flores to reflect on the things that have happened and the things that have gone on. But at the same time, he's got a job to do and he needs to really focus on that, which is coordinating the Minnesota Vikings defense. So it's very obvious to me, at least, that Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel have a much better working relationship. You know, they have a much better chance of being successful because they mesh as coach and quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. As effectively boss and employee. And I think no matter what situation you're in, when you are be able to talk the same language and, you know, maybe it is just you need to be encouraged or that coaching style meshes with you better, then that's going to help you be successful.
Does this create pause? Because you start lining up Flores and then other Belichick tree guys and then Belichick himself. Is it one of the reasons that Bill had trouble getting a job when he wanted a job? I saw some declaration the other day that Belichick wants to be back in. I don't know what that means right now. We need time, right? I'm sure he wants to come back, but does maybe Belichick sees this and reflects on it, becomes kinder and gentler. I don't know that that's the future of the NFL, is defensive yeller and screamer guy and demeaning guy.
I don't know that it is either. I mean, you know, you look at the teams that have had success over the last however many. I mean, let's just go from 2019, right? Since the last time the Patriots won their Super Bowl, you got Andy Reid, you have Sean McVay, you have and then you have Bruce Arians. Right. That's it. So and none of those guys are, you know, quote unquote, defensive guys. None of them are thought of as these mean people. I mean, Bruce Arians, to a certain extent, yes, but he's also more of the carefree, you know, whatever. Sean McVay, I have experience with him. He's very easy on in terms of like getting into guys. He'll do it. Like, that's not a problem. Right. He will hold them accountable, but it's not like you're going to look at him in the hallway and not want to say hello. I mean, he would say hello to me whenever he saw me in the hallway, and I was a lowly team reporter. And Andy Reid runs one of the toughest camps notoriously throughout the entire NFL in terms of training camp. So it's not like he's soft either. Right? But I think the just tearing guys down, that's not necessarily the most effective. And I do believe that it is part of the reason why Bill Belichick is not a head coach right now, because his style was not working any longer, right? Look at the success rate that they had since Tom Brady left the building, and you see it wasn't very high. And I think that that has something to do with it. Whatever they were doing with Mac Jones also, right, at quarterback, clearly did not work. Whether that is just, you know, from the standpoint of bringing in that two-headed monster of Patricia and Judge, bringing back Bill O'Brien, it didn't work. The coaching style of Belichick and so yeah, I think all of those things are factors.
Speaking of Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talks, Peacock as well. Miles, when people talk about your guest spot with me, I say, yeah, it's great, but I'm Willie Ramirez. He's Miles Simmons. That's Steve Cofield. But I can't be compared to the greats. I'm Willie Ramirez. Uh-huh. Caleb Williams was asked the same thing. He said, hey, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's Tyreek Hill. I'm Caleb Williams. Did he brush that off and downplay it? Was he saying what he really felt, or do you think that he likes the comparisons?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think he probably does like the comparison, but what I found interesting is that when he talks about quarterbacks and, you know, who do you model yourself after, blah, 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 he talks a lot more about Aaron Rodgers than he does about Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I mean, that's just something that I've noticed in his media appearances and all of that. And, you know, I think he's also talked about Matthew Stafford, who is one of those guys, you know, like you talk about musicians, like your favorite artists. I feel like Matthew Stafford at this point is your favorite quarterback, you know, because he does things that are pretty underrated. And obviously he was in Detroit for so long, won the Super Bowl with L.A., but he is still playing at a pretty darn high level. And we saw that last year as he helped lead the Rams to the playoffs. I think there are certainly traits that you can see from Caleb Williams and a Patrick Mahomes. You know, I don't like to go crazy over preseason football, but look, when you're running to your left and you throw off platform and it drops right in the breadbasket to Rome Odunze, and it's an off schedule play like that, like that's not nothing. You know, when you're running around and you find an off-balance way to get that ball to Odunze in the back of the end zone, and if Odunze's awareness was not zero at that point, you would have had another touchdown. Like, that, to me, is stuff that you look at it and you say, all right, man, yeah, this guy looks real, you know? Yeah. So it's not, you know, when it's just vanilla coverages and everything's in structure, and that's when you're seeing, like, oh, somebody fell. Oh, you know, now this guy's wide open and he's making – it's a little bit more high level than that, because somebody tweeted back at me when I put something out about that on Twitter the other day. They're like, oh, I'm not going crazy over preseason. It's like, dude, like, if you think that throw was a product of preseason, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I watch him ball pretty much all my life. That was not nothing. It just wasn't. Yeah,
he's a special guy. I watched him at USC, you know, obviously on TV, Pac-12 After Dark. I watched him here in Vegas in the Pac-12 Championship. I interviewed him during media days. I think he's an impressive guy, and I think he's going to be special in this league. So I am looking forward to seeing what he could do. Another first-rounder, Bo Nix. He looked good. Yeah. He looked all the part. You know, two-part question. Your thoughts on him, number one. Number two, based off what we saw, is Gardner Minshew the fourth-best quarterback in the AFC West?
Oh, boy. All right, so, well, yes. No, I can't do that. I can't do that, man. Gardner Minshew at least has a track record, right? I expect Bo Nix to be good with the Broncos. And, you know, when I was watching Bo Nix at Oregon last year, you know, in his 87th year of college football, and it's like, all right, well, where does he project as a player in the pros? I just kept thinking to myself, man, the way he can get the ball out quick reminds me of the way Sean Payton likes to do things. And so it was not a surprise to me when the Broncos ended up selecting Bo Nix. That made a lot of sense. And I think when I've watched these two preseason games against Colts and then whoever they were playing last week, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he just looks like the kind of quarterback that Sean Payton wants. And he's doing things efficiently. He's on target with the throws. We know he's accurate. It almost was more of a surprise to me that Sean Payton did not just declare that Bo Nix was a starting quarterback after that game. I mean, you know, maybe he's trying to be respectful to Jarrett Stidham. Zach Wilson was never going to be a factor in that if we've ever seen Zach Wilson play. I mean, come on, you know, but yeah, Bo Nix, I think, is going to be one of these candidates for offensive rookie of the year. Just because, and he should be, right? I mean, like I said, playing college football forever, so he's got experience. He's 24. I think he's going into a situation where the offensive play caller understands how to get maximize not just him, but the players around him. He's got talented guys like Cortland Sutton. So this should work well for them. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Broncos end up as second place in that division. Right. I mean, I think that will be a pretty interesting battle between the Chargers and the Broncos.
Week zero on the way in college football. Let's close on this. Let's tap into your Power Four coaching background. Miles, of course, USC. That's in EA College Football 25. Did you see the news that the Georgia quarterback Carson Beck, along with Jackson Dart, along with Quinn Ewers of Texas, they've all got private jet deals? I lean on you, not Mike Gundy. He's had a lot of comments on NIL. But do you let your best players – I mean, that's pretty highfalutin stuff. You let them get a jet deal?
SEC, SEC. Holy smokes. I mean, you know, that's not something that they've offered us here at SC. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is, man, we don't play that far from LAX, but I don't know that there's anybody that really needs to be doing anything like that. Well, where do you need to go on a private jet when you play in Los Angeles, right? I mean, the only place you need to go is in the beach. And we have car service now. We certainly do that. We don't want our players, you know, being like some of those schools in the SEC where, you know, they start driving and they're not really in the state of mind to drive. So we want to make sure that all of our players are doing the right things. So, yeah, but if they get approached me with a private jet deal, we can talk. We can certainly talk.
Oh, what a highfalutin horse's ass. I think you just lost Julian Lewis, who was committed to SC as a quarterback out of Georgia. He's probably going to Colorado or Indiana now. So bad news for you, Miles. We appreciate it, buddy. Yeah. We'll see you.
Okay. All right. Take care, guys.
There he is, USC coach. Not really. We didn't get the update how many years he's into. He's won a lot of national championships, though, Willie. Do you find – I try to have fun with it, but I'm not a video game guy, and I like the passion of people on this dynasty mode. It's very funny. It's very funny. You rolled your eyes. You were annoyed by that line of conversation.
I haven't played on a steady basis video games since the Atari console of the 70s and 80s. My son had one video game from me as far as when he was a kid, and he barely got to play it because he was so busy. That just wasn't part of the fabric of his upbringing. And it's not a knock on it. I just never got into it. I never had them as a kid. And I actually really wanted Intellivision. Remember Intellivision? They had the cool graphics for sports back then. I didn't get to get that. But so I didn't. Jordan was always busy. And then as he got older, he would get them, and then he'd get burnt out like within the first 2 weeks, and he would take them to the whatever the place is where you sell them back, and he'd sell the console. So I can't get into it. But I don't knock anybody that gets into it. That's on them. Great. Good for you.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Adam Hill, who's 48 years old, loving the game as much as anyone I know.
Well, I mean, no, that's fine. I don't have a knock. I just –
By the way, he's not 48. That was just another effort.
No, he's 47.
Yeah. UNLV football is kicking off here in, 11 days? Game in Texas at Houston. Home openers against Utah Tech. We got giveaway tickets right now. 364-1100. Caller 7. 364-1100. Noon game Saturday the 7th. You can get your tickets right now. UNLVtickets.com. Or even better, get season tickets. They start at just $150 total for the season. Club season tickets are at $375. You get the same seat for all the home games. Great home matchups against Boise and Syracuse and Reno as well, and flexible schedule, some Friday night games, some Saturday games as well. So check it out, UNLVtickets.com. Season tickets are the best buy in town for Rebel football. But right now we'll give away two free tickets, Utah Tech against UNLV, 364-1100.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
You can see when somebody's got it. Bo Nix has it. This is a fit. And again, I think J.J. McCarthy, with an offensive coach and good weapons, would have excelled. He's out for the year. But Penix has a defensive coach. Caleb, defensive coach. Drake May, defensive coach. Jaden Daniels, defensive coach. Bo Nix got arguably the second best offensive coach in this league.
Colin Cowherd on our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas. We're about 5 minutes away from a little more of what Colin was saying about Bo Nix. I'm not exactly buying it right now. Willie, can we go back to the conversation about Tua and Brian Flores and how bosses approach the game? And is it even fair to talk about normal bosses and football coaches?
It's tough, man, because I think there's only so much you can sugarcoat in football. I think there's only, you know, I mean, you have to be in your face. I mean, this isn't the NFL, but I was raised in an era where it at every level, I only experienced it in Pop Warner, but at every level, in high schools in town, I remember coaches, and then all the way up, but where you were drug around the field by your face mask and screamed in your face and, you know, I mean, toughen up. With the age of mental health, and I'm beating down the door of mental health all the time, I don't know when it comes to employers and bosses, if you can compare NFL coaches and GMs and how they speak to and treat I think they're all, but that being said, I think there is a difference between coaching in a certain manner with instruction and degrading.
Yeah, what Tua was saying is you go to practice every day and someone tells you you suck. It just starts to break you down, and then it affects other players.
You start believing it.
But I also think there's a difference between defensive coaches and offensive coaches. Not that offensive coaches don't scream and yell, but I think they're a little lighter in terms of nature. And when you work with a quarterback, I think there's a whole mental game there. Griffin, you played defense in high school. I'm sure you played both sides. But in college, who did you prefer? The more cerebral guy who talked to you and, you know, kind of on the same level, or the guy who just destroyed you and shredded you?
I needed a good little bit of both. I needed the guy who was either the defensive coordinator or the head coach to be hard, to be always on me, to always expect the most and be hard when I didn't bring it. And then I also needed my position coaches to be more of like the, hey, you know, he's the bad cop, I'm the good cop. You know, you're doing this, just do this a little better, do this a little bit less. So it was like a nice little combo is what I always felt was the best.
You mentioned offense versus defense, Steve, but I don't know, in a bad manner, Josh McDaniels was an offensive coordinator for Bill Belichick, but from what we understand, he was a tyrant. He was a toxic tyrant.
Right, and he sucks.
Right.
He's a decent offensive coordinator. He's a terrible head coach.
Sean Payton, what we've heard, can speak to and be very tough. So he's an OC, but he's good. So is there a real – I get what you're saying. Defense, you're hard. You're in your face. You're in – you know, AP is a defensive coordinator or defensive guy, mind, but I don't know – how much that plays into it as much as it's just the mindset of a coach.
Bottom line, there's a flexibility that's needed. And to just have this attitude as a coach in 2024, and it doesn't mean kids are soft, but they've discovered that managers don't have to yell at them.
Yeah.
And if you don't have flexibility, like if you're an old school guy and you're like, that's just the way I did it, and my, you know, my guy did it, well, then you're kind of lame. You're weak mentally. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to communicate. You can't ever be nurturing and informative and encouraging. Then your coaching style kind of sucks.
And that's at any level. I mean, but yeah, we're talking about pros and millions of dollars.
To tie it to other jobs too, Willie,
yeah.
The way I speak to Griffin, and I'll say manage, is different than it was, say, 17 years ago with other people. Because I've learned. And I'm not saying, like, I haven't mastered, but I think as you get older and you manage and you run a crew or you coach a football team, like, you have to see things. If you're just this tunnel vision, like it's my way or the highway, and you are a pansy if you can't react to me, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it, you know, when we were talking to Miles, I asked a question about the Belichick tree. Think about the Belichick coaches over the years, right? And where they are and how they turned out. One, Belichick's out of a job right now. He's the greatest coach in the history of football. And last year, pretty much the entire NFL told him, you know what, buzz off. We have no interest. Flores, who I think can be a good head coach. I don't know if he ever will be. Charlie Weiss is just a D-bag. Bill O'Brien is, I mean, he's had success, but there are players who hate him. He doesn't know how to speak to people. I mean, I was watching there was an O'Brien moment. I'm watching CBS, whatever game it was, and they go to the halftime show, and Bill Cowher was like, what is Bill O'Brien doing? Come on, Bill. I was like embarrassed for the way he talks to people. Now, they all learned it. The beginning of the tree is Bill Parcells, who a lot of people love Bill Parcells, but he was also a horse's ass. And I've said many times, Bill Parcells is held up as one of the great coaches of all time. He's also one of the most hypocritical coaches we've ever seen. You know, coaches who are like, loyalty and dedication. And every time Belichick, when it got tough, he was already working on his next job. So I never bought that. Joe Judge was terrible. Matt Patricia, I mean, what a... I mean, talk about lack of communication skills. What a horse's ass he is. Brian Daboll's on the tree, the Belichick tree. Yeah. I like Daboll.
Yeah, Daboll, yeah.
And then, you know what? If you want to give him credit, this is a great one. And I threw this guy out yesterday as like the ultimate old guy you saw morph as time went along. But technically, Nick Saban is a Belichick tree guy. But Saban's a great example. He changed with the times. He still had his core values, but...
He adjusted
he
with the
athlete.
He could
talk to kids. You know, he's 70 years old, and he was talking to 18-year-olds.
I want to sidetrack here for a minute, but it ties in with coaching and someone with a defensive mind and with an entirely different approach. But from a high school level, local product, went on to play at Fresno State, academic All-American, and then signs as an undrafted free agent with the Chargers. Vernon Fox came back, won a state championship with Faith Lutheran, but kudos to him. Saw him the other night. He is co-chaplain for the Las Vegas Raiders. That is a position he's been trying to be a part of, as you know, with his ministry and an unordained minister. I happened to be at the preseason game the other night, and he texted me with his credential, and he said, never in my entire career thought I'd be cheering for the Raiders, but tonight is the night. And this is a former Charger and Bronco, but he hates the Cowboys. Anyway, he came up, said hi to all of us in the press box, really happy for Vernon. Talk about a guy who knows how to manage people. I'm really happy for him because he's now back in an NFL locker room, but providing ministry pregame to the players. Kind of cool.
To go back to the beginning of this conversation, like, people who are listening right now are probably thinking, Cofield's a wuss. He's soft. He can't be yelled at. Like, no, I didn't say any of that. I prefer to have someone who is hard charging and driving me. I think Griffin prefers that. But, again, I also recognize different players need different approaches. So, and we're going to see it play out here the next 5 years. Who gets head coaching jobs? Is it the guys who are more cerebral? Now, if you have an older owner, that might be the way they manage. So you go in there and you're brash and you're, you know, hard ass. They might be like, I love this guy.
There's also a there's something to be said. You're comparing it to sort of like what you've done over the course of the years with radio, right? And now with this show. And the times are changing with social media. You see how much you've adjusted with social media. But the word that really doesn't get used, I think, enough, you hear it more in mental health aspects or in therapy, is boundaries. You, when I started this show, you sort of set, here's the boundaries. I need topics from you. I need them by a certain time. You do what you do. You understand what Adam does. You understand what I do. You understand what Candy does. You understand what JVT does. Whoever's on the show. But when it's your day, here's what I need. Here's the dedication I need. Here's this and this. As long as you sort of abide by it, same thing goes with coaching, players, teachers, students, whatever it may be. This is what you're asked to do. If you don't kind of abide by that and go within those boundaries, you're kind of asking for it.
I mean, in football, be consistent and show you care and that you're working.
Where's your work ethic?
Really
exactly.
That really should be every job. And I'm glad we mentioned Sean Payton a couple of minutes ago. I think Payton's going to be a fascinating watch here. He's got a long-term deal. He can be a hard ass. He's now got a kid who's not a kid in Bo Nix. I love Cowherd. And for anyone who – I've said it before – when you listen to sports radio and you're like, God, that host, he or she, the arrogance. That's good. If you think they're arrogant, that means they're giving hard takes, strong takes. As I've said a million times on sports radio, we're paid to give opinions, not to always be right. I think Colin is wrong on this, on Bo Nix. I think there's a little bit of preseason that you can gauge off of. Listen to Colin. You can kind of see what he's setting up here, right? Because one of his new guys is going to be Harbaugh. It's going to be defend Harbaugh at every freaking turn with the Chargers. But with Bo Nix, my God, he freaking loves this kid with the Broncos.
With good weapons, and they brought Troy Franklin, his best college receiver, with him, and Mims, and Cortland Sutton, and two, three backs who are capable. O-line, not terrible. Left tackle's good. I'm just telling you, I'm watching this, and I know it's preseason, but you can see lost very quickly.
Okay, so he's setting up there. You can watch the preseason and see a young quarterback, and you're like, holy crap, this guy is in big, big freaking trouble. I'm going to go back to Miles for a second. Miles is wrong. The Broncos are not competing with the Chargers. The Chargers are a different level team for a lot of reasons, but because I think Harbaugh is already a better NFL coach in what we've seen than Payton. And let's please don't give me Bo Nix is anywhere in the same stratosphere as Justin Herbert. The preseason has changed very little for me. I've thought the Broncos all along are going to win 5 or 6 games. If Bo Nix is solid, maybe they win 7. They still stink.
Wow. So you have the Raiders finishing 3rd.
No, not right now. No, I had the Raiders.
So that means
I'm not. Wait a minute. I thought about this a little bit yesterday. We are getting a little crazy on the Raiders and what we're seeing in preseason. I'm going to sit here and go, Bo Nix preseason. Don't take too much from it. I do think Gardner Minshew can play. And let's also, I know the Cowboys had their seconds in and thirds in on defense. Minshew and Akon were also out there without Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers. That's kind of a big deal. And then the other thing that's very important, you don't. I'm going to say this, and then I'm quickly going to respond. Answer my own question. You don't know what the Raiders are trying to do, if they're hiding some stuff, so you don't know exactly what they were doing. Although I do believe, based on playing time, the Raiders really wanted to set those guys up to look good. When I looked up in the third quarter, and Zamir White's getting a carry, I'm like, what the – what is going – get him out! Are you doing?
Dallas's third-string quarterback was throwing all over the place against the Raiders' starting defense.
That's a problem. And almost no one has pounded. It's all been focused on Raiders quarterbacking. That defense had a tough time against Trey Lance.
Six starters, all the outside the line, the defensive secondary, the linebackers, those are the starting six starters.
Damn you.
Whether Trey Lance is actually a third-string quarterback and maybe should probably be the QB2 in front of Cooper Rush, fact is he's QB3 and he was throwing all over the Raiders starting secondary, period.
Raiders and Broncos in the same area. I won't make a proclamation yet.
Well, you better figure it out, because by kickoff of week one, you and I are going to have a bet on where Raiders-Broncos – who knows? We may end up on the same side of this one, but – there could be a bet brewing following, because I still owe you from two seasons ago. And then, which, by the way, I never welched. I don't even look at him and do that. I have offered several times, Griffin. I've said, hey, let's go. Oh, no. Okay. No, we'll get it done. I have not welched. I don't welch on bets.
I did give a look.
I know what you're trying to do. Like, oh, yeah, don't insinuate nothing to the kid over here. I don't know. But. Then we're going to draw even once the Aces meet their win total, but then we'll have a Raiders-Broncos.
All right. Well, let's bring in Hurd one more time, and then you'll want to take the Broncos.
You know, I'm watching Justin Fields' career. It didn't take long to go, man, he doesn't see – Zach Wilson's a great example. You could see very quickly he doesn't see the field. There's open guys. Bo Nix sees it, and that arm strength is way better than he got credit for. Zipping that puppy in there.
That's an old term. I like that. I got to use puppy.
Sure.
Zipping the puppy. Bo Nix. Next star quarterback, best guy in the rookie class. Let's go.
No shot. Caleb Williams. Not Jaden Daniels and not Bo Nix.
Offensive rookie of the year.
Caleb Williams. I'm calling it now.
You sure?
Yes. I'm not sure that he's going to win it, but that's my pick.
Pretty heavy odds. I think he's like plus 180 for rookie of the year.
Okay. Well, I'll take it.
Well, don't be all cocky.
I'm not.
I'm being arrogant.
You're being arrogant. And you know what? What did you just say? That's good.
That is good.
That's what you want.
I hope people really dislike you in the audience.
They do.
I think Willie's got a point.
Yeah.
Love it so much. Giveaway. Future is playing on Friday the 30th at T-Mobile Arena. The Fortress. AXS.com. We Trust You Tour. Future. Caller 7. 364-1100. 364-1100. Caller 7. Caller 7 for tickets to go see Future. We got a strong grab bag on the way, which includes, Willie was asking earlier, I made a reference at the end of the 4 o'clock hour, time to unveil once again, and this is, it's ever evolving, the Cofield & Company Chef Rankings. Where is Willie?
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Reminder, back on the road. A little ways off for another Steve Sear summer tour stop. Yesterday was Marquee, poolside. We go downtown on September 17th. That's a Tuesday. That'll be the 11th annual Bikini Tug of War at the Plaza. Bikini Tug of War. Three women on the team, weight limit of 400 pounds. We have some big, powerful women in town. But then if you're going to have like a 170-pounder, you do the math. You're going to have some lightweights who are strong as an ox at 115 apiece. I think I did the math there. Bar tabs given away. Free admission for locals. It's brought to you by WagerWire and Green Lumber Supplements. And Steve, of course, paid his $18. He pays that to the Tug of War Association to be an official referee. He's got the whistle. It gets intense. Like, I don't think people realize. Like, the outfits are nice. I'll post some pictures. I save all of them.
You know,
not for that reason, for promotions in the future.
You bring up the, like... You get some powerful women out there, but even the tinier ones, it's all about technique and form.
Tug is about the form.
I mean, I've seen tinier women squat heavier weight than bigger women.
Yeah.
So it's all about form, core. Right, Griff? Yeah. Glutes, hammies, you gotta put it all together.
Let's get in the grab bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So this is fluid. Cofield & Company chef rankings, and if you listen to the show enough, you realize there are a lot of people on the show who put out pictures. Sometimes we've had their food. A lot of this is what I see virally, right? And how good the food looks. So, number one.
No, we got to go backwards.
No. Oh. I think it's better if we find out how far down you are.
Okay. I mean, that's irrelevant. I know I can cook, so your rankings doesn't, but go ahead.
Will you stop sending out pictures?
Yeah. No, I don't. Do I do pictures or videos?
You got to do both. Come on.
Okay.
Number one is Chef Mark. I mean, he was on a big-time TV show.
Yeah.
He's cooking every day. It's beautiful. Mm. Number two, and he's back later this week, is Michael Felder from Learfield and Bleacher Report. He's our college football insider. Mm. You made the point earlier about you got to do a lot of the stuff yourself.
Yeah.
He does everything, almost everything from scratch.
Nice.
He's amazing. Number three, the only guy who really can master the vegan world, Xavier Pope. Number four is Judge Dan, who is a legit pitmaster.
Pitmaster, barbecue, BBQ pitmaster.
Very depressing news, though. He sold that freaking gigantic smoker that could do like 44 chickens at a time.
I remember.
He's like, it was just too tough.
I remember when he posted that a couple years ago. That was,
I gotta tell you,
the first time I saw it.
That picture of that cookout table with that pulled pork and creativity with the beans with apples in it.
Apple pie filling. Yeah.
And then the brisket, not cut well, but looked delicious. Sammy P's number five on the Cofield & Company chef rankings.
I don't think you can knock him on the cutting, but go ahead.
Willie Six. And he's competitive, so I think he's going to start bringing more food to the viral world. And don't ever ask him if he can make mac and cheese. It'll get damn ugly in here. Number seven.
Forgot about that.
Is Jared because of his baking. Jared, and he'll be on Cofield & Company next week.
He bakes bread.
He bakes a lot. I hope he hears this, and I want some bread next week. That'd be nice to get a fresh baguette. I'm going to go on Braggartville. Number eight is Greg Salerno, who says he cooks the best chicken parm that anyone's ever had.
Okay.
So I expect chicken parm at some point. This is not all to get food, just so you know. Number nine is Adam Candy, who is actually pretty well-versed in cooking. His family owned a restaurant. Number 10, I know I'm leaving other people out, honorable mentions, but do we believe William on what he said a couple weeks ago? William the Tech said that he was in the Culinary Union and he worked for Joel Robuchon. So I was like, what? That's an incredible resume deal. Hmm. But here's the thing. We've also, you remember in the past, this is a very old story. You know, we talk about being on 20 years plus with Cofield & Company. We had a kid in here, Darian. Was his name, in about 2004, who said he played on a state champion basketball team.
Here in town?
Back in Baltimore.
Oh.
The state champion for his high school senior year beat a team with like three Division I players led by Joey Dorsey, who played in the NBA, went to Memphis, was like 6'7", 285. Come on, folks, it's the internet. Even back then, look him up. Not a sign of him on the roster. And then we set him up with, remember John Kelly?
Right? Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, John Kelly hated Cofield & Company. But yeah. John set up a one-on-one game against Darian. And John was like a decent old white guy player. I played against him with him. Solid. He beat him like 21-3, 21-2, 21-4. So my whole point is, I don't know how we get verification.
John beat him?
John killed him.
Oh my
he didn't
goodness.
Play high school basketball. He lied. Yeah. And I've always, I don't want to do it. He didn't, this is going to sound ridiculous because I did my whole thing last month. I was looking at UNLV players' legs and judging them on what sort of prospects they were. The muscles, the build, the keister, right? And it got crazy. So I always thought this kid, Darian, did not have an athletic walk. And that was, I knew right away when I saw him walk, I'm like, he did not play high-level college basketball. So, it's one of these guys, you ever see folks with the duck walk?
Yeah.
Their feet go out, and it was like a heavy duck walk. It was like.
Do you remember
right? It's more likely if you're pigeon-toed that you're probably a good athlete. Not like where you can't walk, but like a little bit pigeon-toed. So my whole point is going back to William. I mean, Joel Robichon, that's a pretty big claim. Now, do I want to follow up on this, Griffin? Probably not. If you can, you can do it. But right now, based on reputation, he's number 10. And then we'll have some honorable mention. But you came in at number 6. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's fine. I know what I can do. I could put out a spread. You didn't include in anywhere, shape, or form Adam Hill in the air fryer.
No, I did not. He can't master the air fryer.
He can't master the air fryer. He air fried a steak. He air fried peanut butter and jelly.
It was awful. Oh. I can do fries and chicken fingers, easy stuff. I'm above him for sure. I put up a couple of decent steaks back during COVID. I had some time. We were getting some free steaks through a deal.
The SO.
But I'm not on the top 10. She's not better than me.
Really?
No. Oh, we don't. I mean, I eat like an 11-year-old.
Fast food, huh?
Well, it's not fast food. No, it's just a lot of fried stuff. A lot of fried stuff. Mix in a little salad. And then you wonder, going back to the beginning of the show, why I got to use some powder. Put in the coffee.
Yeah.
Clear the system.
A lot of fiber.
All right, Griffin. Good job, man. Willie, excellent job. Thanks to all our guests. Big week on the way. Remember, Ultimate Contest Weekend, Radio Row will be out there on Thursday, 3 to 6, Circle Las Vegas.
Have some bacon.